XEO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This week on Viewpoints.
This constant checking is the real villain if we want to look at productivity, especially in the early 21st century, is because to check this inbox all the time requires you to shift your context.
Did you know that the average employee checks their email once every 6 minutes? Then
all I told them was, my name is Bob Hillen from the FBI, and I heard him on the radio, and I would like to meet with them about a case.
A skeptical FBI agent partners with a world-renowned psychic to solve a cold case. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
If you've ever opened your laptop and been greeted by a wall of unread email threads, pings, and meeting invites, you're not alone. The average employee now switches screens or platforms almost 80 times a day. What once felt like staying connected has turned into a full-time job of managing communication itself. Cal Newport is all too familiar with this constant battle. Newport is a professor of computer science at Georgetown University. He's also the author of the book, A World Without Email, Reimagining Work in an Age of Communication Overload. For many of us, email feels like an annoying yet unavoidable part of work. But Newport takes it one step further. He says it fuels burnout and lowers productivity by constantly pulling focus away from the actually important tasks.
The main issue is that it forces us to constantly tend these conversations. It's why today, at least in one study, the average American knowledge worker is going to check an inbox once every 6 minutes. It's because if you have three or four dozen ongoing asynchronous back and forth discussions happening via email, you have to keep checking that inbox, because if you don't, things are going to slow down, things are going to get missed, people are going to have to wait for you. This constant checking is the real villain if we want to look at productivity, especially in the early 21st century, is because to check this inbox all the time requires you to shift your context. So you're writing a memo, and then you change your attention to an inbox because you have to tend these hyperactive hive mind back and forth conversations. And that's going to trigger a complex and time-consuming neurochemical cascade to try to shift your attention to the context of that inbox. But what we do is we then rip our attention back to the main thing we're doing before that cascade finishes, and it all gets jumbled. And the effect is we can't think clearly, and we feel fatigued, and we feel stressed and anxious.
Before email, there were few digital distractions. People relied on scheduled in-person meetings or conference room phone calls to work through issues. But once email took over, it became a crutch.
Email spread very rapidly in the first half of the 1990s, and the main goal it was accomplishing was replacing fax machines, voicemails, and memos, inter-office memos. Email could implement these things much more cheaply and much faster. So it was seen as a bit of a productivity silver bullet when it came around, which is why it had such a rapid rise once that tech became available. And what you see is by 1995, this had gone from a niche product to a $500 million a year industry. So once the major office productivity players of that time, like Lotus and Microsoft, got involved in pushing out these products, it really helped it spread, because there was trusted companies producing slick server software. And we were off to the races when it came to email communication.
And today it isn't just email. There's Slack, Teams, Zoom. and AI-powered collaboration tools that promise to help, but often add new layers of distractions. For many office roles, the pandemic's remote work shift has hardened into permanent hybrid models, and the boundaries between at-work and off-work are thinner than ever. A Gallup poll published in 2024 found that nearly 60% of remote or hybrid workers feel pressure to respond immediately to digital messages, even if it's outside business hours.
We're tasked with getting hard things done with our brain and at the same time put into an environment where we have to check an inbox once every 6 minutes. It's a torturous setup in which we're making our work impossible to do or impossible to do well. It makes people anxious. It makes people less happy. It leads to more burnout. It leads to more turnover. It pushes people out of the workflow or the workforce, I should say. And this style of work also creates unexpected inequities because when all we do is check inboxes during the day, we have to try to find time in the morning and the evening to actually use our brain and get things done. But access to that time is not fairly distributed. I mean, if you have kids or not makes a difference. If you're taking care of an aged relative after work or not makes a difference. And so there's a lot of issues with saying, here's the way we're going to work. Just constantly be a part of all these digital chatter. Just constantly be a part of all this back and forth. It's causing way more trouble than I think we realize.
In response, some organizations are rewriting their playbooks by setting quiet hours during each workday, banning internal emails after 6 p.m., or using AI to automatically summarize and shorten long email threads. France, Germany, and now California have also introduced right to disconnect legislation, giving employees the legal right to log off after work hours. But long before these policies and other tech-driven tools, Newport explains how some industries tackled this overload.
Let's say you are dealing with customer service or something like this. You might be concerned if it's just better to be very accessible because being accessible and answering questions is what I do. But even in these type of industries, we often see there's a confusion between accessibility and clarity. We think what people need is constant access to us at all times, but really what they need is just clarity about if I have an issue, I know exactly how I'm going to get that resolved. We saw this with the IT industry about 15, 20 years ago when they shifted over to a ticketing model. They realized that just letting people call them or email them when they had an issue with their computers in their organization would quickly spiral out of control. So they built these ticketing systems where you get a ticket, we're working on it, you get automatic updates. But it allowed the IT professionals to just work on one thing at a time and let the system keep track of here's what's being done, here's its status. They can take a ticket, work on it, then update the ticket in the system. People were largely fine with that because they had clarity. Oh, here's the ticket, here's my number, I'm getting updates. I know this is being handled, so it's okay that I can't just pick up the phone necessarily and get one of the people on the line right away. So reactive industries feel sometimes like it's better just to be fully accessible. But even there, if there's clarity for the people who are trying to contact you, that's often sufficient.
And that same idea applies far beyond customer service. Newport says try working with your team to set a few ground rules to find this clarity. Decide when you'll check messages, when you're offline, and how to flag if something's urgent. Once everyone's on the same page, the constant interruptions start to fade and real focus becomes possible again. The real measure of progress in today's digital age may be how much focus and peace we can actually get back during our busy work weeks. To find out more about this topic and our guest, Cal Newport, head to viewpointsradio.org. You can check out his book, A World Without Email, Reimagining Work in an Age of Communication Overload, online and in select bookstores. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zuveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, chasing evil, shocking crimes, supernatural forces, and an FBI agent's search for hope and justice when Viewpoints returns.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin Ultra Strong. You can use less, better than the rest. Charmin Ultra Strong. Your booty past the clean tech. Yeah. Salmon wave texture, it's the best. Study up, teach a lesson on fresh. Your booty past the clean tech.
Yes, sir.
Charmin Ultra Strong.
Charmin Ultra Strong with Diamond Weave Texture cleans better than the leading one-ply brand, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Robert Hilland is a retired FBI agent who now trains America's next generation of investigators. He's also the co-author of Chasing Evil: Shocking Crimes, Supernatural Forces, and an FBI Agent's Search for Hope and Justice. For years, he has solved major crimes based on evidence, facts, leads, and witness testimonies. But sometimes, when cases went cold, he turned to an unlikely partner, psychic John Edwards, his eventual co-author.
It's because all those investigative avenues have been exhausted and we can't find the missing person or we can't get the answer to the case. So it was those cases when John was like this special friend I had who could maybe make suggestions to me like, hey, Bob, maybe consider doing this or look for that.
Hilland first heard about Edwards on a radio show and thought he was nothing but a shameless fraud.
Just one particular day, I think it was probably the third or fourth time I heard him on the radio in New York. I vividly remember the day because it was rainy. I was late for work and I'm hearing him communicating on the radio with somebody whose mother, I think, crossed over and he's describing this. And I had this, I guess, a visceral reaction because it bothered me. It felt like he was taking advantage of grieving people. And part of me, to be honest, probably felt like I was going to expose him. And then part of me said, well, what if he's not a con, right? So I think I had both motivations. And so I called his office and all I told him was my name is Bob Hilland from the FBI and I heard him on the radio and I would like to meet with him about a case.
In 1998, Hilland was working on a cold case from the 1970s. He wondered if Edwards could help him find a man named John Smith, who was believed to have killed his two wives who both had gone missing. No bodies were ever found.
Nobody knew where John Smith was. He had vanished. They last knew he was in Ohio somewhere around 1997, but nobody knew where he was. So I didn't even know where the guy was, what his pattern of life was now, what his story was now. And with regard to the case, there was not a lot. So what did John Edward tell us? The first day I met him, I was told to bring with me items that belonged to whoever the victim was that I was looking for. In this case, her name was Betty Fran.
But Hilland was still skeptical. He asked women in his office if he could borrow some control items, a bracelet, a compact mirror, a woman's watch, and a necklace that he mixed up with Betty Fran's items. At Edwards' office, the psychic explained his method. He would handle the objects, read their energy, and start sharing what came to him. Hilland was told to stay quiet whether the information made sense or not, and to take note of everything because it could have relevance later on.
So he started looking at these items and very slowly he started pulling his items together and he pushed some aside. He says, I don't know what these things are, but they have nothing to do with why you're here. And those were the items that I brought that had no relevance to the case. He picked up a pair of eyeglasses that belonged to our victim, Fran, described her in specific detail that was impossible for him to have known. He called her by her name, said she had two names, but she went by her middle name, Betty Fran. She went by Fran. described her physically, described things about her that were impossible for him to have known, like she had metal pins or screws on her hip, described she had a toe missing, described breast implants, which are very important to a murder case, described how many children she had, described that she had been killed. The person responsible for death is either a boyfriend or husband. It's a J name, and he was fairly certain the name was John.
Edwards then told Hilland that someone named Michael would be key to the investigation. Michael was the name of John Smith's younger brother. And then Edwards described something that made no sense to Hilland, a woman in a box.
He described there was a wooden box on the side of a ravine, and he saw the newspaper up, the girl in the box, and he described this specific crime scene. And probably neither I nor the detective had any idea what he was referring to. Well, it would turn out later, when we brought the case together, that the scene he was describing was John Smith's first wife, Janice, who had we had not made the connection yet. And John told us that day, oh, wait a minute, this man, John Smith, he's killed other women. You and the police have recovered one of these victims. You just have not made the connection yet. So that was very significant on that first day.
Edwards' visions, combined with Hilland's relentless detective work, ultimately put John Smith behind bars for murder. And their partnership didn't end there. The two worked together for almost 30 years on different cases. One in 2011 involved the disappearance of a Yale University graduate student named Annie Lee, 5 days before her wedding. She was working in a laboratory when she disappeared, leaving her purse, car keys, and wallet behind.
And so the FBI is contacted. They start the investigation, and I'm contacted. I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm asked to come up to assist in the interrogation. They had identified a man by the name of Raymond Clark, who was the last known person to be in this particular room, this area with her. So I came up to assist in that interrogation. We hope to find victims alive, but oftentimes it's unfortunately not the case. So we were operating with the hope that she would be found alive. But if she was dead, that we were trying to figure out what he would have done with her body.
Hilland was given a tour of the scene of the crime, where physical evidence of violence was, in Hilland's words, overwhelming. But there was no body. He was about to leave the building when he received a call from John Edwards.
One of the first things he says, Bob, she's right there. She's wherever you are right now. And John says to me, Bob, where is the mini refrigerator? Now, I don't know this property. And I turn to my colleagues and say, guys, did you find some kind of mini refrigerator? And they go, surprisingly, they go, yes. So where is it? So now we're going through this labyrinth of hallways. And John, we're in front of this fridge. He says, she's in the room on the left. And John starts leading us. And we're searching this room on the left. And John's saying, she's right there. She's in the pipes. Well, this room on the left was like a boiler room with all these industrial pipes. It was meticulously clean. There was a partial footprint on the walls. And John's saying, she's right there. I said, John, she's not.
Hilland returned to Washington, D.C. The next day, he received a call from the Connecticut State Police investigators saying they found Annie Lee's body. It was in the space behind the wall, right where Edwards said they would find her. She had been shoved into the wall through an access panel in the men's room. His colleagues asked who Edwards was and how did Hilland know him. Hilland never shared with anyone that he was working with a psychic for obvious reasons. He just said that he was a friend with good intuition.
Number one, the FBI, we do not traditionally consult with psychics. And number one, number two, I didn't want my own credibility to be tarnished, right? I didn't want people to look at me with a raised eyebrow or thought I had lost my mind, because I too was skeptical. And I thought the whole thing was nonsense when I first heard John on the radio. So I didn't want to hurt my reputation or credibility or maybe get in trouble with the FBI. So that's why and how I did it was, for most of the cases we worked, I was able to come up with explanations or cover stories to explain away when people would ask questions. However, there were times some of my colleagues were present when John and I interacted and they bore witness to certain things, and those people did learn of my relationship with John.
According to the Office of Justice Programs, which is a division of the Department of Justice, Hilland wasn't the first agent to work with a psychic. Since the book has been released, many of his colleagues have been supportive, while others think it's all nonsense.
What I hope the readers take away from the book is how much we, the FBI and investigators, care about the victims in these cases and their families. And there's a sacrifice, a personal and professional one. So I represent so many good agents like myself who worked, you know, behind the scenes, invisibly for so long.
Robert Hillen's and John Edwards' book, Chasing Evil, Shocking Crimes, Supernatural Forces, and an FBI Agent's Search for Hope and Justice, is available now online and in select bookstores. To find out more about our guests this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. This story was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is sponsored by Capital One. Banking with Capital One helps you keep more money in your wallet, with no fees or minimums on checking accounts and no overdraft fees. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. President Trump recently unveiled a new plan with pharmaceutical giant Pfizer that aims to bring down prescription drug costs starting next year. Currently, Americans pay by far the most for prescription medicines, often nearly three times more than other developed nations, according to the RAND Corporation, a nonprofit research and consulting firm. For example, a vial of insulin that might cost around $30 in Canada can set you back almost $300 in the U.S. The new plan, called Trump RX, announced that Pfizer will sell its medicines directly to consumers on the website, TrumpRx.gov. The press release on the new initiative estimates that prices for these drugs will be about 50% lower. However, there aren't any specific details outlining how exactly this will happen. So, is this the fix millions have been waiting for? Well, not so fast. Most Americans don't actually pay the sticker price for brand name prescriptions. Insurance companies usually negotiate lower rates or cover a big chunk of the cost. That means in some cases, the so-called discount price through Trump RX could still be higher than the current cost. Another catch? The deal only applies to Medicaid programs and a short list of drugs on TrumpRx.gov. For now, it doesn't extend to Medicare or most private insurance plans. The question is whether more drug makers will follow Pfizer's lead and expand the program's reach, or if this recent briefing will end up being more symbolic than systemic. Only time will tell if these promised discounts turn into real relief for so many who are struggling to afford the steep cost of treatment. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. This year has been a goldmine of Stephen King adaptations. First, Osgood Perkins wrote and directed an adaptation of King's story The Monkey, which starred Theo James as twin brothers who are cursed by a horrifying toy monkey. Then came The Life of Chuck, a non-horror, more life-affirming King adaptation from writer-director Mike Flanagan. And then we got what is probably the best King adaptation of the year so far, called The Long Walk, written for the screen by J.T. Molnar and directed by Francis Lawrence. Like Lawrence's work in the Hunger Games franchise, The Long Walk is about young people in a dystopian future coerced into competing to the death by their corrupt government. The Long Walk was the first novel that a young Stephen King completed, even though he didn't release it until years later when he published it under the pseudonym Richard Bachman. The Long Walk, the novel, is an angry burst of youthful outrage written during the Vietnam War, a time when young American men were drafted into an unpopular fight. One of King's most sour novels, it's full of rage. With this adaptation, Lawrence keeps that anger front and center, filtering the novel's terse dialogue and sensibilities through two masterful performances from Cooper Hoffman and David Johnson, who take turns charming and dazzling the audience amid the film's blood-stained march toward death. Tense, horrifying, but still bursting with life, The Long Walk is a Stephen King adaptation worth seeking out. It may not be as classically horror as films like Carrie or It, but it isn't quite the heartwarming stuff of The Shawshank Redemption or Stand By Me either. In a time where new King adaptations are being served to audiences seemingly all the time, The Long Walk stands out for its nasty intensity. It's a riveting and anxiety-fueled big-screen adventure that will give you a little bit of hope and a whole lot of dread. I'm Evan Rook.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I'm Chad Holmes, joining myself and former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we will review and preview the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. Each week, we will talk to an area head football coach about their team and also bring on a student athlete to talk about their athletics and off the field as well. The Big High School Sports Show, each and every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And don't forget, you can catch a podcast of every week's show at WXCO.fm. Also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
This week on Viewpoints.
We're living in an era of partisanship and a political partisanship that is more divisive than anything anybody in any living generation has seen before.
Why are young men and women so deeply divided? Then,
I haven't received a death threat in a few months, but I still, I get ugly messages.
We speak to a librarian caught in the crossfire of book censorship. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
In September, NBC News released a poll with surprising results. Gen Z has the biggest gender gap of any generation. But what does this really mean? In politics, social issues, and even measures of success, Gen Z men and women are further apart than any other age group. If you look back at the last presidential election, 61% of women ages 18 to 29 voted for Vice President Kamala Harris, while only 47% of Gen Z men did the same. For Corey C. Miller, a Gen Z researcher and professor of leadership studies at Wright State University, these numbers aren't surprising.
From an ideological perspective, Gen Z women skew much more to the left than Gen Z men. We found in our study that 46.8% of women, Gen Z women, lean left, whereas only 25.75% of Gen Z men lean left. Now you flip it around the other way, and you have 21.26% of Gen Z women lean right, whereas 37.86% of Gen Z men lean right. Everybody else is sort of situated in the middle. You look at Gen Z women, 28.36% in the middle, and you look at Gen Z men, and that is 29.35% in the middle. So they both have something relatively similar in the middle, but where they really differ are on those kinds of bookends.
And these ideological differences go past politics. In four studies that took place between 2014 and 2021, Seemiller found that Gen Z men and women often care about very different social issues.
How does it show up in terms of what they care about? Well, it's interesting because they do have some things that sort of cross over in some ways, and then other things that are not at all similar. We've found that some of the things that continue to hold very strongly for Gen Z men are things around the cost of higher education. That's come up a couple times. The environment has come up. Things around technology, limitations on personal freedom, not being able to kind of either express themselves. This can include things like being able to carry a weapon. It also includes things like being able to be free from having their bank accounts hacked, those kinds of things. And then they also care a lot about unemployment, economy, getting a job. So really the kinds of things that sort of cluster towards the top have to do with money, the cost of higher education, the infringement upon personal freedoms, and then things around employment and the economy.
Interestingly, women are more likely to prioritize human rights and social justice over economic issues.
Women, on the other hand, the things that continue to come up for them are really, really situated around the environment and we would call them like kind of, you know, social justice issues, things like racism, sexism, immigration, human rights, equality. They do have a couple notes on things like financial security and cost of higher education. But again, I think that the cost of higher education is emerging for both of them because our populations we continue to study are college students and college is expensive. So, of course, they're going to be concerned about that. But they have less concerns that they've continued to express about things around money, economy, and jobs, and are much more around human rights and the environment, whereas the men are much more around the economy and jobs and costs of things and personal freedoms.
And the divide doesn't end there. The NBC poll found that Gen Z women are far more likely to feel anxious about the future. As for measures of life success, both groups prioritize financial stability and having a successful career, yet Gen Z men are more likely to see marriage and family as central to success. What makes this so striking is that it's a complete reversal from the past. Up until the 1980s, young women typically held more conservative views than young men.
In older generation, it was kind of the opposite, right? The men were more liberal on a lot of social issues, and women tend to be what it used to be more conservative. That's why a lot of scholars are kind of surprised that why we see this, what we see with Gen Z, we would expect that they become more similar over time, right? Or both of them become more liberal, but somehow that's, at least in some countries, that's not the case.
That's Richard Nensteel, a sociologist and postdoctoral researcher at the University of Bern in Switzerland. He says this isn't just an American trend, it's gaining ground in Europe and Australia too. One theory is that some young men are trying to hold on to power in a world where more young women have a lot of opportunities, too.
There are different explanations put forward for this. One is that some men maybe perceive like fear of losing like their status in society. So that's one point put forward by some studies. Another one is that because of educational expansion, it was quite massive in many European countries, and I also think in the U.S., young men nowadays, of course, do not only compete with other men that are on average more highly educated, but also with a lot of women that are nowadays very highly educated. And so there might be some sort of backlash towards gender equality because a lot of them might fear that they lose out, right, when they have to compete with a lot of well-educated women. But of course, the relative position gets worse compared to other generations.
Another contributor, social media. Unlike earlier generations, Gen Z has spent most of their lives online. Platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and X make it easy to find like-minded people. The result? Online echo chambers, where the same opinions get louder and louder.
You might be in a group online, and all of a sudden, you know, a women's group, and then you get a lot of people sharing very similar thoughts, and you get kind of a more salience or strength in those thoughts, which is really different because that creates much more of a kind of a partisan or even just a divide when you feel more emboldened, right? Like if I'm the only one who's like, I don't know if I want to have kids right away with my partner and I'm sort of thinking about it, but I get online and I join a group and like, it's like all these women are like, I'm childless and that's what I want to be. All of a sudden I'm much more emboldened in my choice. And so those differences just become much more stark.
Layer on rising political polarization and the reasons behind the divide become more clear.
I think that we're also living in an era of partisanship and a political partisanship that is more divisive than anything anybody in any living generation has seen before. And this idea of these polarizing differences just shows that people have very different ideas and the relative unwillingness of people to come together and work together and the incivility that's happening around that is making it so that instead of the idea of like, let's work through our differences, let's capitalize on our differences, let's, you know, collaborate through our differences. Now it's just, I don't like you, you don't like me, you're wrong, I'm right. And that mentality has really shifted over into saying like, there's groups of people who have thoughts about one thing, they may never come to accept that other people have different thoughts. And so that can be a factor that can affect not just Gen Z men and women in their thoughts, but any groups of people that might have differing thoughts. There isn't like the space to come together anymore.
This divisiveness has also led to less romance. Researchers note that Gen Z reports less dating and relationship experience compared to older generations at the same age. Seemler believes Gen Z might move away from traditional ideas of partnership altogether, like getting married or having children.
I think what's going to be really interesting to track are marriage and childbirth rates for the next 10 years of this generation to see to what extent they are keeping pace with other generations. Are they foregoing traditional marriage and actually doing cohabitation or other forms of partnership? Are they having more children, less children? What are their views? And it's kind of hard because, like I said, some of them are still only in high school, so they're not at a point where they'd be making those decisions. But I think following this generation for the next 10 years on those metrics alone can be very interesting.
While Gen Z may be deeply divided today, it doesn't mean that it's set in stone forever. Many in this group are still in high school and are young enough that their views are still forming and changing. For this reason, researchers caution it's too early to draw firm conclusions about an entire generation. To learn more about Corey C. Miller, Richard Nensteel, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galante. Our executive producer is Amira Zuveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, what's the top banned book title? Clockwork Orange. We speak with a librarian about her experience during this time of increased book censorship in America when Viewpoints returns.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Behold the Colonel's giant KFC chicken sandwich, a towering extra crispy monument to flavor. Such a huge amount of juicy hand-breaded KFC chicken at a pretty tiny $3.99 price. For the Colonel's KFC chicken sandwich. I mean, $3.99 isn't even worthy of the same epic soundtrack as the KFC chicken sandwich for only $3.99. The Colonel lived, so we could chicken.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Progressive's teen driver discount could lower the cost of insurance for your teenager and save you some money. And then you can still spend money on them. Because just when you think you have a grasp on spending, new sneakers! And then it's money for a school field trip, and of course, spending money. Oh yeah, and a new phone to replace the one they dropped in the toilet. Oh, don't remind me. So just get Progressive's teen driver discount. And then you can continue to spend money on them. Endlessly.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discount not available in all states and subject to terms and conditions.
When middle school librarian Amanda Jones opened her email on August 14, 2022, her hands started to shake and she felt short of breath. She had just received a message from a stranger that accused her of being a pedophile and a groomer. It concluded with a threat, quote, "You can't hide, we know where you work and live. Click, click, see you soon." What had Jones done to prompt such language? She had spoken against book banning at a local public library board meeting in Livingston Parish, Louisiana. On the agenda that night was a discussion around banning books with LGBTQ content and prohibiting signage for things like Black History Month and Pride Month. As a librarian herself, Jones was concerned and felt the need to speak up.
I talked about the detriments of book censorship, and I never named a single book. I just was speaking in generalities, and that's all I did. And close to 30 other people also spoke at that same meeting and said pretty much the same thing I did, some of them a lot more heated and with a lot more passion.
In her speech, Jones explained that libraries have diverse collections with resources from many points of view. She told the audience that there was a system in place for parents to challenge books they felt were inappropriate, but that a library's mission is to provide access to information for all users. Even though Jones lives in what she describes as a conservative Louisiana community, she was shocked and heartbroken by what happened next. She's since filed 3 police reports, a defamation lawsuit, and received many death threats. Many of her neighbors have turned on her. Some friends grew distant. She says even her parents couldn't understand her point of view.
And I've been in a lot of therapy since then to try to process, you know, but I'm so used to the hate at this point. It hasn't stopped. It started in July of 2022 and it's still ongoing. It's constant. So I'm used to it now.
Jones writes about her experiences in her book, That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America. Before becoming a school librarian a decade ago, she taught English language arts to 7th and 8th graders. Jones has seen firsthand the positive impact books can have on students' lives.
I've had multiple students that are now adults who have contacted me to say, I remember I read this book in high school or in college, and I was at the brink. I thought about taking my own life, but I read this book and I stayed another day, and I read another one and I read another one. And even though you didn't recommend that book to me, I developed my love of reading because you taught me in 7th grade and you taught me the importance of books and literature.
Jones says comments like these are especially true for people who identify as LGBTQ, those who have been ostracized by their own communities or their own families and who turn to books for solace.
As a school librarian, I want to make sure I provide a safe place and a safe spot for every student in my school. The Human Rights Coalition in 2023 published a study that said, you know, it was a very large amount of students feel unsafe at school, but 9 out of 10 said they feel the safest in the school library. And to me, that's very important. And it goes to not only the attitudes and the direction and the way a school librarian treats kids, but also the resources that are provided. But again, I'll reiterate, we don't provide resources that are not age relevant to our students. So I would not have books that are sexually explicit in my school library that is 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. A high school might be different, though. In Louisiana, you can get married at the age of 16, but you can't read about sex. It's a little hypocritical.
According to the American Library Association, in the first half of this year, there were more than 400 attempts to censor library materials and services, with more than 1,000 unique titles being challenged across dozens of states. As books about LGBTQ issues, sexual health, and race have been targeted for removal, libraries have been thrust into the spotlight. So far this year, Louisiana legislators have introduced multiple bills that could negatively impact librarians. One of them, HB 777, would have criminalized librarians for using public funds to attend American Library Association conferences.
What I'm seeing is apathy from people. People either are apathetic or they're not paying attention, or, you know, the people not paying attention don't need the books or resources because they tend to have money. But it's going to affect the most vulnerable in our communities, the people who rely on the public library for internet and story times and resources. And if people don't start paying attention, we're going to see the destruction of our libraries and schools.
Even though some of these proposed laws have been killed, Jones says the ripple effect will last decades through soft censorship. According to the American Library Association, soft censorship is when books are purchased by libraries, but then placed in restricted areas, hidden, or kept off limits. Jones says that because of harassment, librarians are scared to even order books that could be deemed even remotely controversial.
My friend Tom, who is the past president of Tom Boebert, past president of the Missouri Association of School Librarians, he's in a lawsuit right now. He joined with the ACLU to sue Missouri because they'll criminalize librarians if books have sexual content. But what people are equating sexual content could be a handhold or a kiss. But because it's a member, you know, two girls or two, they're saying that's inappropriate. And so people are scared to buy books like Laurie Hall Sanderson's Speak or Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye because they don't want to be put in jail.
Since that initial board meeting 2 years ago, Jones says she has become more introverted. She has had security cameras installed and has started carrying a taser. She says she often gets her groceries delivered and chooses the pharmacy drive-through option to avoid negative interactions. Although she was born and raised in a politically conservative community, Jones explains it is important to her to protect access to books that discuss race or LGBTQ themes.
My parents are ultra-right, and my parents can't wrap their heads around some things I say and do. And I say, you raised me to be this way because you raised me Southern Baptist Republican. You raised me to believe that God is love. We should love thy neighbor as thyself. We should be good Samaritans. We should champion the underdog, and we should stick up for the First Amendment.
The story of Amanda Jones and other librarians caught in the middle of this censorship battle has been turned into a documentary called The Librarians. The new film, which was released on October 3rd, is currently screening in select theaters in the U.S. and abroad. To learn more about the documentary, head to thelibrariansfilm.com. You can find out more about Amanda Jones and all of our past guests at viewpointsradio.org. The segment originally aired in December of 2024 and was written by producer Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Jane Goodall has passed away at the age of 91. She's best known for devoting her life to the study and protection of chimpanzees and for forever changing the way we see animals. For Goodall, her journey into science was anything but typical. Back then in the 1950s in Europe, it was almost unheard of for a woman to study animals alone in the wild. Science was dominated by men, and the image of a young English woman living in the African forest leading her own research was groundbreaking. She didn't just challenge assumptions about chimpanzees, but questioned gender roles and the assumption that women couldn't be field scientists. Despite the critics, she got her foot in the door and booked a one-way ticket to Tanzania to study chimpanzees under the direction of paleontologist Louise Lackey. Once there, she observed these primates creating makeshift fishing poles to catch termites. This broke the long-held belief that tool-making was unique to humans. Over time, she documented them hugging, playing, and even mourning the death of loved ones. The more she watched, the more it became clear. The world between humans and chimpanzees was similar in many ways. Goodall was also well known for her observational approach and unique ability to connect with animals. She gave them names, detailed their personalities, and formed special bonds. This approach shifted how science and the public viewed not just chimpanzees, but wildlife in general. Today, she leaves behind more than just scientific papers and breakthrough discoveries. Her compassion, patience, and connection towards animals changed how we view the natural world and our place within it. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Leonardo DiCaprio is one of the biggest movie stars to ever live. He proved his dramatic chops immediately with his tender performance in 1993's What's Eating Gilbert Grape, before becoming one of the most charming romantic leads of the 90s with Romeo and Juliet, and of course, Titanic.
He's teamed up with many of the greatest living directors for all-timer roles like Billy Costigan in Martin Scorsese's The Departed, and Frank Abagnale Jr. in Steven Spielberg's Catch Me If You Can. He held the center in Christopher Nolan's Inception, turned villain in Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained, and gave a performance for the ages in Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street. He won an Oscar for pushing himself to the physical limit in Alejandro Iñárritu's The Revenant, and then in 2019, he turned in what is one of my favorite performances of all time as Rick Dalton in Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Far from the young charmer of his early career, Dalton forced Leo into new territory. He played an aging actor, full of nervy energy and hectic desperation. In 2023's towering Killers of the Flower Moon, DiCaprio played Ernest Burkhart, a real-life figure as so dumb and confused you'd have to pity him if he weren't also such a malicious force of evil. And this year, DiCaprio stars in the new film from Paul Thomas Anderson called One Battle After Another as Pat Calhoun, aka Bob Ferguson. Calhoun is a revolutionary who turns into Ferguson when all that youthful exuberance leads to tragedy and he's forced into hiding. 16 years later, Ferguson is a burnout loser, trying his best to be a loving father. He's back to the nervy desperation of past roles like Dalton and Costigan, but this time DiCaprio is more aged and weathered than ever before. Gone is the young boy who made America swoon back in 97. In his place is a bona fide character actor, likely the best of his generation. This man once played Jay Gatsby, toasting champagne as fireworks exploded behind him. And now he's Bob Ferguson, a paranoid isolationist stuck in his pajamas as he scrambles to remember secret codes and pounds his chest in defeated frustration. Leo has run the gamut of roles for the past 30-odd years. His personal life has become the stuff of tabloid fodder and social media snark, but every time he shows up on screen, you can't help but be captivated. Always exploring, always relating, and often helping create masterpieces with master directors. I'm Evan Rook.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I'm Chad Holmes, joining myself and former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we will review and preview the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. Each week, we will talk to an area head football coach about their team and also bring on a student athlete to talk about their athletics and off the field as well. The Big High School Sports Show, each and every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And don't forget, you can catch a podcast of every week's show at WXCO.fm, also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Thieves broke into the largest and most visited museum in the world this morning. Reporter Brad Gibson says the Louvre in Paris is closed today while police investigate the brazen robbery.
It all happened in about 7 minutes, according to authorities. Robbers with chainsaws used a cherry picker to enter a second floor window. 9 priceless pieces of jewelry were stolen.
Hamas and Israel are making dueling accusations of attacks and violence in Gaza as the ceasefire deal frays. The BBC's Frank Gardner is in Jerusalem.
Hamas says Israel is arming and funding and supporting rival armed factions inside Gaza, giving them shelter inside the Israeli-controlled area to challenge Hamas's rule.
Pope Leo named 7 new saints at the Vatican today. Reporter Sabina Castelfranco is in Rome.
The new saints included an ex-satanic priest.
The new saint renounced Satanism and returned to the Catholic Church. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.